Hi, this is Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to look at how you can control which HTML methods, things such as GET or POST, are accepted by your actions in an ASP.NET MVC application. So let's get started and we'll create a sample MVC app for us to use here in the demo. Now we're going to create this in Visual Basic. However, when you download the sample source code, you also get a version in C Sharp. So let's just go in here. Let's make sure it gets into the correct folder so you get it in your download of the video. And we won't do a unit test for the purposes of this demo. So now let me just set up a little test situation here where we can look at some of the details. So the first thing I'm going to do is set up a simple model. And we'll add a new class in here. And let's call it a restaurant. And then in there we'll put a couple quick properties. Let's go down here and we'll do a public property. And let's just backspace that out. There we go. And let's call it the restaurant name as a string. And let's do the city. Also as a string. And let's just put one more so we have a little data. And we'll put food type. And we'll just put that as a string. Now the purpose of this class is just to have a little data, create a view and a controller so we have something to work with in looking at the ability to control which HTML methods are accepted by your actions. So let me just go up here, we'll save this, let's close this out, and now let's create a controller. Go over here, create a new controller, we'll also call that restaurant. And we'll add that in. And now let's just create a view for that. Go in here, we'll add a new folder. And let's just create an index kind of default view for that. So we'll go in here, we'll call it index. And let's go down here, let's strongly type it, and we'll base it upon that class that we created. So down in here, there's our restaurant class from our model. And let's just do an edit type content. We'll let Visual Studio create a sample view for us. Now we need to do another thing here before we can get the sample page to work, and it's expecting an instance of our restaurant class. So over here in the action, let's go in here and let's dimension a new variable and we'll call it rest as. There we go, a restaurant. And actually, let's go back here. We want to instantiate an empty one, so we'll go like that. And then we need to pass it down to our view. So we'll go like this. And just we're going to use, I'll show you here, view name. And there we go. Actually, we're going to hard code the view name and the model. It would go to index by default, but this way it's a little more self-documenting when you get the sample source code. And we'll put that instance of the restaurant class in there as well. So now let's take a look at it, and I've set the default page over here in the properties. Let me go over here and show you how to do this just in case you don't know. And I've set the specific page, and in an MVC application that points you to a particular view, or in this case that's simulating the inbound URL. So I put restaurant, so what it's going to do is default to the index action in the restaurant. And let me close that out here. And now let's just open this up in the browser and make sure it's working. And it is. So we have our simple editing form. So now let's take a look at how we control what HTML methods are associated with at least a couple actions here in our controller. So now let me put a breakpoint here where we dimension our new instance of the restaurant class. And let's run this in debug mode and watch what happens when we fill out the form and post it back. Now the first time through when the form is being generated, we're here in our index action. Let's let it keep going. The form comes up and let's just type in Pizza Hut, and the city is San Francisco, and food type is fast. So now let's click save, and it'll post the form back, and yet we're still coming into the same action that initially generated the form. And if this was a true edit situation, this might be a little difficult to work with, because you really want to post that restaurant information back and be able to save it to the database. So let me just shut down the site here, and let's look at what we can do to solve that problem. So what we're going to do here, let me just copy this index action, and we'll paste it down here. And then let's say we're going to change the method signature, and we're going to accept an instance of the restaurant class. So we'll go rest as restaurant. So then that's going to come in here. And for the moment, let's just say what we do is we set that equal to a new instance of restaurant. So at this point, it's going to do essentially the same thing as the original version of the index, except that what we're going to do next is we're going to go up here and we're going to add an attribute. And there's two ways you can do this. One is a Visual Studio 2010 approach, and the other is a Visual Studio 2008. And we'll do both of them here so that depending upon which version you're working with, you'll have both approaches. It's just very, very similar. It's just a syntactical change they made in VS 2.10. Okay, HTTP. And notice there's attributes for the main HTTP methods. And in this case, what we want to restrict this one to, let's say, is an HTTP post. So we do this. And then what's going to happen is that just by putting that attribute, this particular action, the index with the restaurant instance, is going to accept it, or be called only when you get a post back. So let me go back in here. We'll set another breakpoint. And let's start up in the debug mode and watch what happens this time. So we come in here the first time through and the form's being generated. We're calling this plain vanilla so-called version of our index action. And we'll let it go on from here. We'll get the form. And let's just type in our information again. And now we'll click save. And this time it's going to be doing a post back. And what's going to happen is that you can see we're getting the other action called, where we're taking in the restaurant information. And just as a quick aside, in case you didn't know this, model binding automatically will bind the data. So you can see here that our instance of the restaurant class already is populated with the form values. And there's another video here in this series that talks about model binding. You might want to look at that if you're not familiar with that process, because there's some additional flexibility in customizing that process. So here we've restricted this to just post, and I think you can start to see the power of using these attributes and how it might be able to provide you with control over what actions do what. Let me just shut this down here again. And as I said, this is a Visual Studio 2010 approach. Let me just put a little comment here, and I'll put VS 2010 version. And now let's just copy and paste this down, and we'll do it again. And I want to do it in the Visual Studio 2008 approach, so you have that. And I'm just going to comment out this one so we don't get any confusion. And you'll have that in the sample code when you download it. And so this one is going to be the 08. And now we're going to put a slightly different attribute in here. It ends up being the same effect, but it's a little different syntax. So we'll delete this one out of here. And we're going to use the accept verbs attribute. And what this does is it takes essentially the same things that we saw before. It's just taking them as different enum values. So if we were to go like this and accept the HTTP verbs post, then that will end up having the same effect. And just to make sure that that does work the same, let's put a breakpoint down here. Let's fire it up and fill out the form, post it back, and make sure it goes to that version on the post back. There we are in our initial version. We'll continue on, get our form. And let's just put that information in here again quickly. And here we'll click Save, post it back, and you can see we ended up in the post version with the different syntax. So this syntax works both in Visual Studio 08 and VS 2010, whereas the attribute up here, the HTTP post, is just a shortcut that was a syntactical shortcut that was added here for VS 2010. Now I'm going to show you another example where these HTTP verb attributes come into play and may be useful. And let's say we want to have a link on our page to delete a restaurant. So let me go over here and just put another action link. And we'll call html.actionlink. And we'll put just the text as delete. And we'll put the action name as delete. And we're going to add that into our controller momentarily. And let's pass, let's say, an ID. So we'll go new with dot ID equals 1. And we'll close that out. So now we have an action link for deleting, and we're just hard coding in a value of 1 for the ID of the restaurant for the purposes of demonstration here. So now we need to go over here to our controller, and let's add another function or action. We'll call it delete. And let's pass in the ID as an integer. And that will return an action result. And in here, we need to put something kind of quick and dirty in here. So let me just copy and paste this down here. We really don't care what view it goes to for the purposes of what I'm going to demonstrate here. So we need to dimension, and we'll just put this kind of like the initial one. So that'll get this to work, and that's really all we're concerned with. So let me go up here and to debug. Delete all breakpoints. We don't need the old ones. Let's just put a breakpoint right here in this new delete method. And let's fire this up and make sure it works. Here's our form, and we'll just go right down to the delete link. If I hover it over it, you can see down in the status bar in the lower left that it's going to pass the URL restaurant/delete/1, and that one is the hard-coded ID value of the restaurant we want to delete. So we'll click this, and it does post back here to our delete action. You may say, okay, that's good. You know, I can see a use for this where maybe I'll have a list of restaurants with a little link with the word delete, or it could have a little X image. And the problem with this is that it opens up a security hole in the sense that this is performing an HTTP GET on that link. And that opens up the door to someone coming in and deleting all kinds of restaurants, and that wouldn't be good, obviously. So there's a way here we can work around it a little bit. And let me just show you an example of that. We can come in here and we can make this be a post. So what's going to happen now, if we go back, let's go in here, let's start it up, get the page. There's the page, go down to delete link, let's click it again. And you can see it says resource cannot be found. And the reason we're getting that is because we have restricted this delete action to being a post. So there's a couple ways we could deal with that. One might be we have a little JavaScript method in our client-side code that makes that delete link a post back, and then this would work. The other thing we could do is we could actually have this same function, and we could put the HTTP delete attribute on it. Now, normally, that would not work with a postback because you would only be able to use either a get or a post. But if we make an AJAX-based call, then we could use the HTTP delete if we specify in our AJAX call that we are performing an HTTP delete. So there's a couple options for you to solve this problem of not allowing people to delete your records via a link. And I think it shows you another example of the power of these HTTP verb attributes in controlling, you know, who can get access to what in terms of the method of posting back or HTTP action. So those are several examples of using the HTTP verb attributes in your MVC applications, and I think it should be a good starting point for you to figure out how you can best use them in your own MVC sites. So I encourage you to download the sample source code. As I mentioned, it's available in C# as well as the Visual Basic we used here in the demo, and then you can use that as a guide in implementing the use of HTTP verb attributes in your own sites. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video on using HTTP verb attributes in your MVC applications.